Hey, thanks so much for visiting DrewSkaggs.com.
105.7 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out, broadcasting live from the Palatial Studios of 105.7 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. Welcome to the juggernaut known as AIO, where we bring to you topical talk radio that is informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, invigorating, and infuriating, emotions felt all at the exact same time on this Selection Sunday. What is missing? There's something missing, though. Oh, yeah, the Kentucky Wildcats. I mean, 17 years in a row, it's one of the days I've always looked forward to, and Kentucky fans of all stripes have looked forward to. Alas, we will not be called today in the field of 65. You know, it's actually a 64. They got a play-in game. That's just silly. I mean, why do you have a play-in game?
That's just silly.
I mean, you got North Carolina, AT&T, playing, North Dakota Central, in a play-in game. So they're really not in the tournament. Whoever loses is not really in the tournament. And they call it the Field of 65, and it's actually just 64. But congratulations to your Buckeyes. Wow. Where did that come from? Did they win today?
I don't know. They were.
Because they whooped up on State.
I think they're still playing, actually.
Oh, are they? Because they're playing Purdue, right?
It was about 4 o'clock. It was halftime, though.
So. Were they winning?
I didn't hear the score. Well, they were down by 4 early, but that's all I heard. So.
Well, any glimmer of hope that the University of Kentucky would be in the Field of 64 today just crashed and burned with Mississippi State winning the SEC tournament crown, beating Tennessee. And that's a hard one because I just really detest Tennessee. But it's one of those, Tennessee's going to be in anyways. And we are, slightly a bubble team, but it's now gone. And let me tell you something. Everybody's been coming up and talking to me about what's going on in Lexington with that situation, and it's just ugly. No other way to put it. 2 hours straight ahead. It's a shotgun show. Just one of those shotgun shows. This will be the last live telecast for a week. At least, right? Well, yeah. Because due to basketball constraints, both Sweet 16 and the NCAA. Congratulations to Morehead State, though. That's who I'm pulling for.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Due to that, we will not be having a show either Wednesday or next Sunday. So, I know you're going to be jonesing, but fear not, we will be back shortly thereafter. And as I said, tonight's just a shotgun show. A whole lot to talk about. We were talking before we went on the air. We were talking about the stimulus deal. And I've talked to some civic leaders in various cities in our listening audience that are going to be the beneficiaries of the government largesse known as the Spendulous Bill. And to a man and a woman, they tell me this. Listen, the money's going to be available. We're going to spend. I don't agree with this deal, but the money's out there, and we're going to get our share. And I can't disagree with that, any stretch of the imagination. But anything you all want to talk about, we do have the internet up and running at drewskaggs.com. That's SKAGGS.com. Or you can reach us at 1-800-551-1057. And I've got this from Justin, longtime listener. He's got to be a little disheartened at the fact that I've not got him his T-shirt out. But it will be going out tomorrow. Mail's running tomorrow, isn't it?
It should be.
There's no goofy holiday.
Don't know of any reason why I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Unless the budget has gotten to them.
Well,
again,
they have been talking about cutting down to 4 days a week,
yeah,
the Postal Service.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but that's not taken effect as of yet. So, Justin, I'm going to send you the T-shirt, the official Airing It Out T-shirt. Where to start? Let's see. 9/11 defendants say we are terrorists to the bone. They bragged about killing 3,000 American citizens. We fight you over defending Muslims, their land, holy sites, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not surprising. And of course, you know, Guantanamo is being shut down where these people reside. Let's see. Mullahan. We've talked about Mullahan up in West Virginia. He got in trouble a little while ago. He was provided more than $75,000 in free rent to his family's charitable foundations. At the same time, receiving millions of dollars of earmarks. So, Alan Mullahan, West Virginia, the culture of corruption continues. You know, and I don't understand anybody that looks at that and says, "Whoa, you know, D.C.'s changed." D.C. hasn't changed a bit. Ohio State up 3 with 4.5 to go in the game. Let's go with some Jim Bunning news. Senator Jim Bunning, Dateline Washington. Bunning offers another apology.
I'm sorry, so sorry that I was such a fool.
And he is such a fool. For the second time in less than 3 weeks, Senator Jim Bunning, Republican Kentucky, has apologized for something he says he shouldn't have said. The Kentucky Republican said yesterday he was sorry for swearing at reporters when he was asked in a conference call about the results of a campaign poll he had commissioned. Quote, "I am sorry for taking the Lord's name in vain. After 59 years of dealing with the media, sometimes they get under your skin, but that is no excuse." No, it's not. And don't blame the media. You're the one that said it. The senator referred to an exchange during the Tuesday conference call with reporters in which he was asked about his campaign's poll regarding his prospects for re-election in 2010. He said, "Let's say that I did the polling." I don't even know what that means. What happened is the internals came back to him, and they're terrible. Bunning just needs to step. I mean, he can't even step gracefully off the stage. He just needs to get off the stage. And he went. He cussed out, said, "This means it's none of your Lord's name business. You paid the $20,000 for the poll, you can get some information out of it." Rated by many analysts as one of the most vulnerable Republicans in 2010, Bunning has been trying to raise money for his reelection campaign under pressure from party leaders to retire. Analysts view Bunning's reluctance to release his poll numbers as a sign that the results were not encouraging. On February 23rd, he issued an apology for saying at a Kentucky fundraiser that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg would be dead from cancer within a year.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim just needs to go. You know, I'm an equal opportunity here. Bird should have gone 3 decades ago, but Bunning needs to go also. But if he continues on with this, he stands no chance. And he's getting frustrated because it's becoming obvious to everybody but Jim Bunning that he needs to step down and give somebody else a run at it. Dateline, Milton, West Virginia. This is number 3. Milton Flea Market prepares for grand reopening. Now you might be wondering why that was played.
Yes.
My question would be, are there going to be Barbies for sale?
Probably not.
Because, did you see Leno's on that?
I heard that,
yeah. Leno's banging on it.
Yeah.
The Barbie deal, where, what's his name? Jeff something or other,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's something like that.
Yeah, from Lincoln County.
From Lincoln County, yeah.
Yeah, proposed that we needed to get rid of the Barbie dolls. So, you know, flea markets, by the way, are the last true bastion of pure capitalism.
Yeah.
They are, because it's all bartering.
Right.
You know.
I know.
What do you take for this? Well, I don't know. You know, my guy got a lot in. It's some good stuff. Well,
I think it's kind of fun to go to the flea market sometimes just to interact like that.
I have never been to one.
Never?
Never.
Wow.
Never. I've never been to
one. If you collect old things, it's
yes.
a good place to be. I'm a technology freak, but I like to collect some of the older technology that some people's like, I don't know what this does. I'm like, I'll take it.
And you can find them at flea markets. You can find just about anything at
yeah.
flea markets.
Yeah, you can.
Don't they have raids where they sell knockoffs of stuff and they some, set up raids where they bust?
Some places do, but not always. I mean, sometimes they have people who just come in and get stuff that you would find at, like, the cheap aisle at the drugstore or whatever. And then sometimes they have just people cleaning out their garage, and they've got all this extra stuff laying around.
You know, I need to go to a flea market. I need to go. So just I know what you're talking about. There's one up on 23, Hillbilly Flea Market.
Yeah, it's a definite cultural kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go check one out this summer while I'm out and about with my children driving around. I think they're on the weekends mostly. So
it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday kind
of. Are they?
Usually that's
the
schedule.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna check one out so I know. But I know it is the last bastion of total capitalism. We can be reached by going to drewskaggs.com. By the way, the NIT seating, which stands for not in tournament, is at, if you're interested, this is how bad it is. 9 o'clock tonight is the not in tournament NIT seating and all that other stuff. And that's at 9 o'clock on ESPNU. I mean, it's not even on ESPN. It's on ESPNU. What is U? Is that Universal? What
University,
is that?
Yeah. It's one of the pay channels, one of the secondary channels that most people don't get.
So it's a secondary ESPN channel.
Yeah.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
That is great. We and people wonder why, you know, some folks wonder nationally why we're upset about this. We're not used to it being drawn out on ESPNU for the NIT. Now, what if Minnesota does not make the big dance, the NCAA? What are the odds that they have Minnesota and Kentucky in the same bracket?
Wow.
Huh? I guarantee you.
That would be interesting to see.
Another footnote for this. The chairman of the NIT, I don't even know what you call it, seating, whatever you call the thing, is C.M. Newton, former athletic director at the University of Kentucky, football field named after him, which I've never understood. He's a basketball guy, an athletic director that was a basketball guy that his greatest thing was hiring Rick Pitino, and he also hired Hal Mumme, who was nothing but a debacle, and they named the football field after the guy. I've never understood it. Does that make sense?
No, not really.
It really doesn't. So that's 9 o'clock, Cats fans. That is how far we've fallen. We are now waiting on the NIT because at the I think it's 6 o'clock. We need to get that revved up so we know who the number one seeds are at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll be watching it here.
My guess is Memphis, Pittsburgh. There's a school, it's red and white. I think they're called Louisville or something like that.
Ah.
Yes, I think they'll be a number one seed, and I don't know who the last one will be. Probably North Carolina.
Probably. They're always up there.
Well, I don't know. The Dukies won today. So, you know, that's the last thing Duke's going to win this year. They're all just very excited. They being the mainstream sports media who is always gaga over Duke. And so they won the ACC tournament. So there's going to be a push to get the Dukies in there. They'll probably be fifth. I think they'll qualify. Not a fifth seed. They'll be a two seed, but the fifth team in. I think so. I think it'll be Pittsburgh, North Carolina, Louisville, and who else did I say? Memphis.
Yeah.
So we'll see how I do. It's just a shot in the dark. What's happening? I gave the wrong score there with Ohio State.
Yeah, they're down by 3. It's 58-55 with a minute to go.
Oh, so they cut into the
chance,
lead.
Yeah.
Wow. Buckeyes. You're wearing your Ohio State red.
Yeah, I am.
You are ready. For it, it's just disheartening that this is what's happened because, as I said, this is how much I value our audience. You've heard that Las Vegas is suffering some economic downturns.
Right.
I am going. Listen, this I go to great lengths to satisfy my listening audience with the Sweet 16 happening and the NCAA tournament. It's just I can't get on the air next week because of everything that revolves around that. So I am going to go to Las Vegas and see firsthand about the economic downturn. I have no interest in going, but it's only for the audience.
That's good investigative journalism.
That's exactly what it is. Investigative journalism at its finest. But don't call me a journalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You can call me a lot of things, and I don't care. It rolls off my back. But if you call me a journalist, that's when them's fighting words.
You can be an investigative reporter. How's that?
I don't know. That's even, I don't know.
You can be our, I don't know.
Man on the street interview.
Yeah, you could be our, you know, our Las Vegas correspondent.
There you go. You're listening to Airing It Out with your Las Vegas correspondent. I need to get it together here. I really do. Because I'm all over the board. But that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Ironton Tribune. Our old buddy Jim Crawford put in together, I don't. It just puts together what Jim puts together. Dateline Ironton Tribune, governing in public is messy business. He writes, critics of the new administration have noted that there seems to be an element of disorganization, a lack of clarity in the functioning of the administration. There was no such lack of clarity in the Bush administration, so why can't the Obama administration get its act together? Obama speaks on education but presents no clear legislative pathway to solution, instead inviting conversation about the topic all over the nation in sponsored group dialogue. That's what community organizers do. That's how they operate. They get these little breakout groups together, and he says, "All right, listen, I want you to go over there and discuss these things and come back to me with a solution." Jim, the Dog and Pony Show is taking place in D.C., not all over the nation. You don't know who's in these groups, do you? Obama wanted a stimulus bill but failed to tell Congress what had to comprise the contents of the bill. Okay, you get it. He's being facetious. But the next three paragraphs are basically what they accused Bush of, or accused him of, for 8 years. In the Bush administration, if they wanted Congress for anything, and they rarely did, they told Congress exactly what Congress was to do. So, number one, that fits the Bush was just a jackbooted Nazi. And Congress did whatever he told them to do. Jim, just who controlled Congress the last 2 years? It wasn't Bush's party. And the 6 years before that, he had a slim majority. Very slim. He had to make, one of your favorite words, I'm sure, compromises to get anything passed. As opposed to the current one, who has a huge, huge surplus in Congress, Obama's party. It's not disputable. When the administration wanted cover for their go-to-war claims, they simply, well, there you go. So there's the second one, go-to-war. So the first one is Bush is a Nazi. Second one is he's a warmonger. Third one, when the administration wanted an energy policy, it simply brought in all the oil folks and held secret policy-setting meetings. That's big oil. So those are the three talking points that Jim and liberals all hit on. I thought meetings and getting together with folks is, he was just talking about how it's great that they have these dialogues. It's great when Obama does it, but not when Bush does, or did. Jim, you know, and I've talked at length about what these liberals are going to do. How are they going to deal with this when Bush is gone? It's time to get over it, bud. Bush is gone. Well, it just leaves Jim confused. Yeah, put myself in his shoes. He's thinking, you know, I should be happy, but I'm not. When that's a symptom of liberalism, they're never happy. But beyond that, that's okay, Jim. You know, you're going to get your marching orders from the community organizer. And as if on cue, where is this story? Dateline MSNBC.com. Obama's new strategy, blaming Bush for the mess. So that's the marching orders that Jim has been given. Now comes the Obama administration and a different way of governing. What do they think? That Congress is a separate branch of government, not the rubber stamp the Bush administration made the Republican Congress. This is what liberals do. They lie. Okay? This is what they do. They spin and they lie because the stimulus package was passed in 3 days. $870 billion passed in 3 days. If that's not the definition of rubber stamping something, I don't know what is. As we've pointed out here time and time again, you and I, when we make a decision whether we want to go buy a vehicle or we want to go buy a TV, you know, we shop around. If you're internet savvy, you get on the internet. You look for reviews. You see how much things cost. You get five or six TVs or five or six cars that you have in mind. Then you go and you look and you test drive them. You look at the in the case of TVs, you check the picture out, and it's a process. It's a process that happens before you make any big ticket items. And here's Jim whining about how Bush had the rubber stamp Congress when Hopi McChange gets his stimulus bill passed with no debate at all. But Jim will look at this and see what he wants to see, which is, well, that's how things should be done because it's my guy. Do they think that Americans really are competent enough to participate in establishing solutions to our problems? Who are they, Jim? Who are these Americans that he's getting input from? I'll tell you who they are. They're Nancy Pelosi, and they're Harry Reid, and they're Barney Frank. That's who he's getting input from. He's giving lip service, saying, well, we're going to get input from all Americans. Baloney. Did you get input from all Americans before you spent $870 billion? No. Already we say times, Speaker Nancy Pelosi has openly disagreed with the president on the Iraq withdrawal and an administration appointment. The financial markets do indeed hate the lack of clarity. What they have wanted is for you and me to cover their losses and get out of their way so they can do business as usual. Have you not seen the stock market, Jim? Have you not seen trillions upon trillions of dollars of wealth destroyed in this country among average, everyday, common citizens? Of course you have. You just could care less about it. The lack of clarity is exactly right. The market is a barometer of futures. It's a conglomeration of where people think the market's going to go. And it's obvious where they think it's going to go with how low it has gone here. And he says, what they've wanted is for you and me to cover their losses and get out of their way. I wonder if Jim would actually apply that same standard to the homeowners with this bill that just got passed where we spent another $87 billion a couple weeks ago where we're going to bail out the mortgage holders that were flipping houses, that were in over their heads. See, he won't extend that same premise by any stretch of the imagination. You know, President Obama's got big majorities in the House and the Senate, and he's using it to steamroll through what he and other liberals have always wanted. Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Ted Kennedy, Barbara Boxer, you can go down the list. Now, is it sour grapes? No, it's reality. It's political reality. Elections have consequences. And this is the consequence of it. They're going to get what they want to get. But at some point, you know, they're going to have to, I would think, get past this fixation on Bush. He's no longer president, Jim. This is the Obama economy. Whether you like it or not, it's what it is. And let's see, where I had this on that homeowners deal. Oh, check this out. And we've got number five, don't we? this is part and parcel with what I'm talking about. Dateline USA Today. 35 counties account for 50% of foreclosures.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house.
Tells you that you go to me in the middle of our
street. 35 counties. Now, let's put this into context. The Commonwealth of Kentucky has 120 counties, just in Kentucky alone. 35 counties in America, according to the USA Today, last year accounted for 50% of all foreclosures in the United States. 50%, half of them. 8 counties. Located in Arizona, California, Florida, and Nevada, accounted for 25% of the nation's foreclosures last year. So, don't be bullied into what they're trying to sell here about, oh, people are losing their homes all across the country. No, they're not. They're losing them in 35 counties in America. And where are these things? Nevada, California, where else? Florida and Arizona. All boom areas, huge boom areas. They were at the vanguard of the housing boom market, which started probably early 2000s. And they saw those houses just, you know, double and triple in value overnight. And what you've got is a lot of people trying to flip houses and got caught. Just like we said, it's like homeowner musical chairs. They have gotten caught with it. And now we're the ones that are going to be bailing these folks out. And I was looking at the legislation that actually passed. Do you know, Jeff, that even if you lied on your mortgage application, you can still get bailed out?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You could go in there and say, all right, yeah, well, yeah, I'm making 100 grand a year. When in reality, you're making 20. And the whole premise was to get in there, get approved for this, get a home that's $500,000, and hopefully in 8 months it's going to be 600 grand. You can flip it, make a quick 100 grand.
Wow.
Right? You know, that was the whole mindset.
Right.
Well, we're bailing them out, you and I, the taxpayers. But Jim is all on board with that. He's got no problem because he won't look into just exactly what that and a whole lot of other stuff is all about. You know, he's just a political hack. That is all he is. And I understand people are going to say the same thing about me, but I just banged on Bunning last segment. You know, we try to point out hypocrisy here at all levels and try our best at it. But, you know, at some point, you know, it's going to come back where they're going to have to quit bashing Bush, but they won't. You know, they're not going to. Why doesn't Jim write about the hypocrisy of the $410 billion omnibus package that passed on Wednesday, this past Wednesday? The candidate who promised to scour the budget line by line. I am going to look line by line. And we are going to strike out earmarks. The guy that promised us this just signed this bill that has 8,000 plus earmarks in it. But Jim, rather than actually pointing this out, focusing on what this administration is currently doing, he'd rather go back and talk about Iraq and about how Bush brought us into Iraq under false pretenses. And he'd rather rehash all this Bush stuff than actually take a look at what's happening with President Obama and his programs that Jim wholeheartedly supports now. I mean, it's hypocritical. But, you know, listen, if we didn't have Jim, man, we wouldn't have a lot of fun stuff to talk about because he's been there for us, hasn't he? I mean, for 2 years, Jim has just produced quality gobbledygook, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun with it. He's got his own theme song, after all.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of that, we need to get Ledford. Has not been on here forever, has he?
No, he hasn't.
I know.
He really hasn't.
I know. I need to call him.
I don't think he's been on since you made that friendly little wager with him.
Well, you know, he welched. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's about. He's a little embarrassed. But I would figure he'd want to do it now because his team's going to be in the tournament and the Cats aren't.
Yeah.
You know, it's a perfect opportunity.
Right.
I don't think I'll give it to him. So I came across this article. We've not talked about global warming lately. Because there's too much with the economy and all that stuff happening and the new presidency and all that. But we've not talked about global warming at all. And I came across this article in Boston.com. It is entitled, Where is Global Warming?
Oh, it's too hot, lady. Gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade. It's too hot, lady. Gotta cool this anger. What a mess we made.
Suppose the climate landscape in recent weeks looked something like this. Half the country was experiencing its mildest winter in years with no sign of snow in many northern states. Most of the Great Lakes were ice-free. Not a single Canadian province had had a white Christmas. There was a new study discussing a mysterious surge in global temperatures, a warming trend more intense than computer models had predicted. Other scientists admitted that because of a bug in satellite sensors, they had been vastly overestimating the extent of Arctic sea ice. If all that were happening on the climate change front, do you think you'd be hearing it on the news, seeing it on page one of your daily paper? Would politicians be exclaiming that global warming was even more of a crisis than they'd thought? Would environmentalists be skewering global warming deniers, who I am a proud card-carrying member of, for clinging to their skepticism despite the growing case against it? No doubt. But it isn't such hints of a planetary warming trend that have been piling up lately, just the opposite. Yeah, the United States has shivered through an unusually severe winter, snow falling in such unlikely destinations as New Orleans, Las Vegas, Alabama, and Georgia. On Christmas Day, every Canadian province woke up to a white Christmas, something that hadn't happened in 37 years. Earlier this year, Europe was gripped by such a killing cold wave that trains were shut down in the French Riviera, and chimpanzees in the Rome Zoo had to be plied with hot tea. Last week, satellite data showed three of the Great Lakes almost completely frozen over. In D.C., what was supposed to be a massive rally against global warming was upstaged by the heaviest snowfall of the season. So you get the gist here. All this has been piling up this winter, but the media has no desire to report it. They go on, there is no shame in conceding that science still has a long way to go before it fully understands the immense complexity of the Earth's ever-changing climate. It would be shameful not to concede it. But for many people, the science of global warming is not nearly as important as the religion of global warming, which we've talked about at length here. It is. But did we get a call or something?
Yeah, we got a caller. He was saying, going back to the Kentucky, the UK thing.
I'd be more than happy to talk about cats.
Yeah, he just wanted to say that, you know, we should look at it this way. At least the state of Kentucky is being represented in the NIT. So he's going to see. He said that, you know.
So now, was that a dig or was that
He was being optimistic. He was being, you know, UK faithful. He's just saying that, you know, Moorhead's not going to do it. Western Kentucky's not going to do it. So go Cats.
Isn't Western in? I thought Western was in. They won their conference tournament.
Are they in the NIT?
No.
No, that's what he's talking about, the NIT.
Yeah.
He says UK is going to, you know, represent the state of Kentucky in the NIT. And he's saying that's a good thing.
And bless his heart. He's got his big blue blinders on, and that's a great thing. That's what makes Kentucky basketball fans just one of a kind. Yeah, I guess that's the way to look at it. Yeah. I mean, they'll be rooting. You know, the cool thing, in all seriousness, the cool thing in being going into the not-in tournament NIT is that they're going to hold it at Memorial. Memorial Gym on the campus of the University of Kentucky, because the Sweet 16 will be occurring at the same time. So Rupp Arena is out. Yeah. You can't hold anything there.
Right.
So the really cool part is going to be able to watch a game at Memorial Coliseum, which I don't think a game has been there since they opened Rupp in 1976.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean that's where Coach Rupp plied his trade for low those many years.
Oh, yeah.
Was on the hardwoods over at Memorial Coliseum. It's a great place to watch a basketball game. I watched Lady Cats a couple times when I was in school there. They play at Memorial, and it's that's going to be fun because it's right on campus, and you know, she should have a lot of kids there, and that'll be a fun deal. So, yeah, I guess optimism does reign, but there's a whole lot of pessimism out there also. But if anyone wants to talk about cats, I'll talk about them. I'll talk about anything. 1-800-551-1057. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the key part of this, the money quote here is, but for many people, the science of climate change is not nearly as important as the religion of climate change, which is exactly right. These people just firmly believe in it, even when evidence is staring right back in their faces that it's a hoax and a myth, that it's happening and being caused by man secondarily. You know, Mother Nature has such things as check valves built, and that's how God did it. I mean, it's the wonderment of our planet. I mean, there's check valves built into the system to keep the place relatively stable on a planetary scale. For example, Mount St. Helens, that thing erupted in the early 80s. Thousands of times more damaging than so-called man-made greenhouse gases. Now, this is just a charade. It's just a charade, nothing more than a method to get a few people very, very rich. Al Gore being one of them, who won't debate anybody about it. He just says it's happening. They're getting very rich by scaring the Chicken Little out of people. Well, they're just scaring people about that. But then again, you can't put a tax on a natural disaster like a volcano as easily as you can on business now, can you? You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
You can't put a tax on a volcano.
No.
But you can sure put one on business and say, that's who's causing it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop. Even if we go into a deep ice age, they will spin it as climate change produced by man. The rank-and-file tree huggers are too stupid to actually look at the evidence that's staring them right back in the face. Now, on the heels of this, I have this story from The Guardian in the UK, who Great Britain actually is the only one that produces quality journalism. American taste for soft toilet roll, quote, worse than driving Hummers. This is The Guardian. I forgot. They're right up there with the New York Times. The tenderness of the delicate American buttock is causing more environmental devastation than the country's love of gas-guzzling cars, fast food, or McMansions, according to green campaigners. At fault, they say, is the United States public's insistence on extra-soft, quilted, and multi-ply products when they use the bathroom. Sheryl Crow is the model for this, I'm sure. Quote, this is a product that we use for less than 3 seconds, and the ecological consequences of manufacturing it from trees is enormous, said Alan Hershkowitz, a senior scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council, which the Natural Resources Defense Council is the environmental equivalent of PETA. I mean, they're just lunatics, as the theme song says. Future generations are going to look at the way we make toilet paper as one of the greatest excesses of our age. Making toilet paper from virgin wood is a lot worse than driving Hummers in terms of global warming pollution. A campaign by Greenpeace seeks to raise consciousness among many Americans about the environmental costs of their toilet habits and counter an aggressive new push by the evil paper industry to market so-called luxury brands. Liberals will never stop whining about something. And in this case, multiply toilet paper. Plastic garbage bags, plastic grocery bags, diapers, toilet. The list is endless of things these people whine about. They're getting ready to unveil the selections here on Selection Sunday. Usually, my favorite, this is the best, I think the NCAA basketball tournament is the best sporting event in the nation. And I love the Masters, too, because I'm a big golf fan. But, you know, it's kind of, they're bookends. You've got the selection show, and then you've got the tournament, and then you got the Masters first week or second week of April. And it's just, it means spring is here, finally. So, Pittsburgh, before we start talking about toilet tissue, Pittsburgh, Memphis, UNC, and Louisville are going to be one seeds. Duke, UConn, Oklahoma, and Michigan State, two seeds. That's just my on-the-fly prediction. We'll see how it all fares. And just keep an eye on Kentucky. Make sure that you see if that name pops up. So we're talking about the latest thing that environmentalists are whining about, and that is the American taste for quality toilet paper. This Hershowitz guy says more than 98% of the toilet paper sold in America comes from virgin forests. In Europe and Latin America, up to 40% comes from recycled products. The campaigning group Greenpeace said it produced a guide to counter an aggressive marketing push by the big paper product makers in which celebrities talk about the comforts of luxury brands of toilet paper and tissue. Those brands are especially damaging to the environment. Do they not even look? Do these idiots not even consider the fact that companies such as Kimberly-Clark are in the paper business, i.e. the tree business? They're not just going to cut down trees and not replant trees. Why would you do that? It makes no sense. These people plant 10 times the amount of trees that they harvest for their products so that they can have a continuous pipeline of trees to be able to produce the products that Americans want. That's never brought up with these goofballs from Greenpeace and these environmental wackos. Dave Dixon, a Kimberly-Clark spokesman, said toilet paper and tissue from recycling fiber had been on the market for years. If Americans wanted to buy them, they could. Quote, for bath tissue, Americans in particular like the softness and strength that virgin fibers provides. It's the quality and softness that Americans have come to expect. Hershkowitz counters with, I really do think it is overwhelmingly an American phenomenon. People just don't understand that softness equates ecological destruction. Incredible. There's so many ways I can go with this. I mean, after Obama gets done inflating the currency, we can use dollar bills for this purpose. That would help things out from their point of view. You could even raise money doing this. I mean, you could have special commemorative dollar bills. Obama dollar bills, Hillary dollar bills, Pelosi dollar bills, Reed dollar bills. I'm sure there'd be a lot of people that would pay to wipe that. But this is what it all comes down to. Americans, once again, using too much of the world's resources, forcing the rest of the world to do without. We have it just too good in America. And this is a goofy subject to even be discussing. However, there is an important principle at work here. Enterprise searches for a new and better ways of using natural resources to meet demand. Where there is no enterprise, there is no desire to meet demand. It's called capitalism. Those who oppose enterprise insist upon controlling demand. Restricting water use, that's a case in point. There is enough water on this planet to meet all demand forever. Providing water requires an enterprising spirit. No such spirit exists in the municipal water industry. All efforts are geared to restricting use. You, in summertime, you get it. You hear it. You've not had any rain. You've got to, you don't water your lawns. Don't wash your cars. You need to cut back on it. We're going to restrict it. Rather than trying to make it more available to everyone. Environmentalists, these nutcases, they also favor restricting demand. Not satisfying that demand. It's a perfect fit for bureaucracy. Both want to control and limit activity, and both are contrary to the human spirit. So there is a principle at work here. What's the difference, Jeff, between British toilet paper and sandpaper?
I don't know.
Sandpaper is only rough on one side. I mean, you can go buy, just like the guy said, there's recycled stuff out there. If you wanted to go buy it, go buy it. It's just another example of them trying to control what we want as Americans. We know what's better for you. And it's not the multi-ply, three-ply soft toilet tissue. I would never have thought that this stuff would actually be talked about two decades ago. But that's how far or how low we've gone since then. That people actually pay attention to this stuff and say, you know, you're right. Once again, those damn Americans, they use all the world's products. They don't give anything back to the world. They just use. America is to blame. Once again, have they come out with anything yet on the seatings?
Not yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see. How about this one? This is from the Times Online. This is how far environmentalism has come. Two children should be the limit, is the headline. Couples who have more than two children are being irresponsible by creating an unbearable burden on the environment, the British government's green advisor has warned. Jonathan Porritt says curbing population growth through contraception and abortion must be at the heart of policies to fight global warming. He says political leaders should stop dodging the issue of environmental harm caused by an expanding population. They going to get the Muslim people? They going to get the Chinese people? The Indian people? The Mexican people? To adhere to this? Of course not. It's only going to be, once again, Caucasian citizens that need to do this. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but that's the truth. Why don't all the green people out there throw themselves off bridges? Just throw them, that would make room for more babies. You know, hopefully with a modicum of sense about them. And they talk about all this stuff, but you never, ever see about the mass suicides that take place in order to save the planet. You never read about that. Now I know that I'm illustrating absurdity by being absurd. But see, this is what control is all about. They want to limit the amount of children that you can have. And it all starts with toilet tissue. We want to limit your toilet tissue. We want to tell you what kind of car you can drive. We want to tell you how many children that you can have. Because we know better than you. It is governmental bureaucracy run amok. And all these things, they add up after a while. And it's all about power, the power of the state controlling what you can or can't do. When I was talking about the latest proposal from an environmentalist over in England about limiting families to two children because of overpopulation, and is it he or she?
Danny.
Danny. Danny, thanks for calling. Danny made the point of, well, okay, are they then going to say, you know, listen, you're too old, you got to go? That sounds crazy, but that's the next logical step. If you're going to say you can't have children, then the other side of it is, oh, and by the way, if you're 80 or 85 and infirm, it's time for you to go. It's called eugenics. That's what it's called. And like I said, I wouldn't have thought we'd be talking about this stuff 20 years ago. Why is it so much of a stretch to think we won't be talking about eugenics in 20 years as a form of population control? I mean, you talk about universal health care coverage and how great it is. Oh, yeah? Well, you go over there. You go over to these countries that have it, Great Britain, what have you. They make these decisions all the time. You're 85. You need a heart transplant. Well, you know, we're looking at the statistical models here. And what comes with universal health care is rationing. You know, there's only so much that can be spent on different procedures, so they have to ration them. That's the logical conclusion to universal health care. So what they do then, they run statistical models, and they put it in. 85-year-old man needs a heart transplant. Okay, logical lifespan, 78 years old. Well, he's already 85. A heart transplant's going to be 300 bills, 300 grand. Sorry, you can't have that. Just can't have it. So it's already going on in the single-payer systems around the world. It's just not called that. But that is, in reality, what it is. They sign the guy's death warrant. You can't have that heart transplant because it's not something that in the statistical models is worth it for us to do. Because you've already lived past your logical lifespan. So we're not going to spend 300 grand, and then you have you kick the bucket next year. So that stuff is already going on. And it is. It's incredibly illogical. But that is what the power of the state does. They have the ability, once they get there, once they get the power to do it, they have the ability to implement these types of things. And they already are in the universal health the free system, the quote-unquote free systems across the world that are anything but. I can't believe Morehead State got the play-in game. We were just talking about that when we first came on the air. I said, the play-in game's terrible because you're not really in the tournament. You got to win that game to actually be, you're in the tournament per se.
Yeah.
But Morehead State's playing Alabama State. You know, I mean, hate that. I can't stand that. And then to have a local school be faced with it just brings it home. That's just irritating.
I know.
You know, Morehead State's got to play Alabama State, and they got to beat them. And if they beat them, they play Louisville. You know, which is an interesting matchup. It would be great to see two Kentucky schools. That's how they do things at CBS. Oh, it's a computer model. We just interpret what gets spit out. Well, really, really.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of ratings influence.
Oh, sure there.
There
is. Sure there is. I'm a huge Eagle fan. I hope they win their first two games in the tournament.
Yeah.
Yes. So they got the play-in game. West Virginia's got Dayton. West Virginia's a 5 seed, I believe. Is that what it was? Were they a 5 seed or they were a 6 seed?
I didn't catch it.
But Ohio State's an 8 seed, and they're playing Siena, the Saints of Siena.
Yeah.
Tough game, I'm telling you. Ohio State better watch out. Those 8-9 games are always tough. But you look at Siena, you think, wow, who's Siena? Come on. Siena's tough. This is their third straight year, I believe, that they've been in the tournament. They are battle-tested in the NCAA tournament, and Ohio State had better not overlook the Siena Saints. That just really irks me. I really feel sorry for Morehead. And I said it was going to be Pitt, Memphis, UNC, and Louisville as the 1 seeds. It was Pitt, UNC, Louisville, and UConn as a 1 seed. But you said UConn went out west, So UConn is the number 4-1 seed.
Right.
They are they're number 4 because they shipped them out west.
Yeah.
Is where they're playing.
It looks like they're getting ready to show who Memphis is going to be playing.
Memphis is definitely a 2 seed in the South, I'm sure.
They're number 2.
Yeah.
We're going to go in Cal State Northridge.
So Memphis is the number 1 2 seed.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, to me. No Kentucky yet.
Haven't seen
yeah, Kentucky. Watch, you got to keep an eye on that.
I'm
well,
watching.
I mean, Arizona got in at 19-13.
I know. I'm watching.
I know. Well, you're going to be watching a long time. I got my finger. I'm hoping against all hope that the Cats will be in there. But he says you don't get it. You don't get.
I don't,
the bracket deal.
No, I don't get.
Do you know what it is?
Excitement from everybody.
You know what it is?
What's that?
It is something. First of all, people love brackets. They love lists. They love lists of all types. They really do.
Okay.
You know, I heard somebody put it this way the other day. You could put in brackets of the best candy bars. You know, and as number 6 seed, we've got we've got Milky Way coming up against
Woo-hoo!
Yes, against the we can't do that. Let's just say an 8 candy bar field. We've got the 4 seed Milky Way coming up against number 1 Snickers. Snickers is just they're just a juggernaut. They, they're worthy of the number 1 seeding. You know, and people would do that. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of a Milky Way guy, but Milky Way, I'd advance them to the second round. Man, 3 Musketeers though is waiting. So, people love lists and top 10 lists. That's why Letterman's deal does so well. People love lists, and the bracket thing is with the NCAA bracket. You've got something that men and women can participate in together. Because I'm telling you, this is how my lovely wife, she's just gorgeous. But beyond that, she would look at the bracket and she would say, well, Alabama State. Well, no, that's not a good one because she'd pull for Moorhead. But let's just say Cal State Northridge. Who'd you say they're playing? Memphis?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, their mascot is the anteater. It's a very cute anteater. It's very cute, and the cheerleaders are very cute too. So I'm going to put Cal State Northridge through.
Wow.
They're going to beat Memphis because their cheerleaders aren't very cute. So it's that type of deal, and a lot of times that's who wins it.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's who wins it are the ones that have no clue about basketball. What?
I guess that's kind of like me when I go to the horse races. I don't pick on the numbers. I just pick because they have a cool name.
Yeah, see, exactly. A little bit different, though. Horse racing involves actually putting money down. This is, which brackets do until Obama gets a hold of this. He's going to tax the hell out of it because it is an untapped resource. I mean, because billions get put on this.
I'm sure.
You know, the office pools and what have you. So, you put your $5 in, and you get to pick your teams, and everybody participates in it. And whether you know anything about college basketball or not, you've got the list, and you can look at it after every round or every day, and you can see who's winning and who's losing, and it brings people together. And not to mention that you got a lot of feel-good stories that go on, and you've got a 3-week build-up to the crescendo of Final Four weekend. You got first and second rounds, and I'm going to be out in Vegas this week, and it's just by sheer coincidence that the tournament's going on. I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know. Well, I can't help the fact that the economy went south when it did. Okay. This is the only time I could book to go out there. I just sheer coincidence.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think so.
Yes.
And it's weird that St. Patrick's Day kind of coincides with all that too.
I really had no idea about St. Patrick's Day. But, St. Patrick's Day going on also. So, but I'll be the man on the street for this show out in Vegas reporting on the economy, what's happening out in Vegas. I mean, I go to great lengths to satisfy our listeners. Anything else, anything of substance going on? Are they back to the east yet or what?
The Wildcats are in. The Villanova Wildcats.
Oh, that's cute. You know what? You just gave people heart attacks out there.
I'm sorry.
I knew you were full of it. But
Villanova's playing American University, in case American's anybody tough. Wanted to root for those Wildcats.
Listen, American is tough. I actually visited their campus one time. It's in D.C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a...
Never been there.
Yeah, they're 25-7, I believe, aren't they?
24-7.
See, I'm just a total dork, aren't I?
Pretty much.
I mean, not only politics, I know these basketball teams.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd really like to just talk basketball. Yeah. But I guess we'll talk some political stuff. Ted Kennedy, specifically. This is... you want to talk about Jim Crawford talking about how government is transparent. No, we are going to be transparent in where our money is spent and how it's spent. And to quote Obama, we're going to make sure it's spent timely and targeted. We're going to target these expenditures. Oh, really? Dateline Boston, Massachusetts. Feds spending millions of dollars on Kennedy legacy in Massachusetts. More than one of every $5 of the $126 million Massachusetts or Taxachusetts is receiving in earmarks from the $410 billion omnibus package that passed Wednesday is going to help preserve the legacy of the Kennedys. Thank you. Thank you so much. That is great. One out of every $5 is going to be spent on preserving the legacy of the Kennedys. The bill includes $6 million for the planning and designing of a building to house a new Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the Senate. Man, that is jobs. I mean, that is jobs right there. The funding may also support an endowment for the Institute. The bill also includes $22 million to expand facilities at the JFK Presidential Library and Museum, $5 million more for a new gateway to the Boston Harbor Islands on the Rose Kennedy Greenway, a park system in downtown Boston named after Kennedy's mother. You got to be kidding me. I know they're not, but this is your government at work right here. This is what our tax dollars are going to go. They're going to go try to uphold a bloated boozer's reputation. That's what your tax dollars are going to. The list of earmarks provided by Kennedy, John Kerry, otherwise known as Jean-François Kennedy, and the state's all-Democrat congressional delegation highlights programs throughout the state, including $3 million to preserve New England fisheries, $1.7 million for land acquisition at Cape Cod National Seashore, and $333,000 to study any links between environmental pollutants and breast cancer. Yep, that's change. That is the change. Is that the change everybody voted for? Is that the change right there? One of every $5 is going to go to preserve the Kennedy legacy. Let me ask you this while I'm on this topic. You hear Obama and Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid demonizing business in this country. The latest is AIG, by the way. They're all over that. They gave bonuses out or something. You're the idiots that gave them $162 billion. What are you whining about? You gave them $162 billion with no strings attached. They could do what they wanted with the money. And now you turn around and whine about it. We've put $162 billion into a company that has a market cap now of $8 billion. How does that work on any level? It doesn't. But anyways, so you got all these goofballs that I spoke of demonizing CEOs, whether it's the car company people that fly their jets in, whether it's capping CEO pay at $500,000, whether it's the class warfare thing. We've ad nauseum, ad finitum, we have talked about the ways they are demonizing the quote unquote rich in this country. Okay. How is it that the Kennedy family escapes any criticism for their wealth? How is that? They made their wealth illegally. running booze in the Prohibition years. The Kennedy wealth is huge. But you never hear any of these liberals bashing the Kennedy family for their money. You never hear it. Because they're, quote-unquote, good liberals. But yet, we're going to give, as taxpayers, millions upon millions of dollars to uphold the Kennedy name in Massachusetts. Mary Jo Kopechne, as usual, had no comment about this. It makes me madder than a hornet. It really, really does. I mean, I know everything in West Virginia is named after Robert Byrd. I mean, and I understand that. But nobody cares that the Kennedys have all this money. They could care less. The media yawns. Oh, Camelot. What a great time. Here's the dirty little secret. These tax increases. We're going to tax the wealthy in this country. 250 grand and above, we're going to raise their taxes. And it's going to produce all kinds of revenue into our treasury. And everybody's going to do great because we're going to whack the rich. The Kennedys' money is protected. The Kennedys' money, as the uber wealthy have, it's in tax shelters. You know, it's not going to be affected. They're not going to be hit by these tax increases because they have their money locked away. They're not paying any taxes to begin with. You can't buy into it. You cannot buy into what they feed you with this stuff. I talked about last show how it was that during the Bush years, everybody whined about outsourcing. Oh, we're outsourcing jobs. It's awful. And I said last show, you ain't seen nothing yet. And these tax increases go into play that's squarely set at small business and business as a whole. You're not seeing anything yet. What you're going to have is an underground economy. I said that last show, as if on cue. Corporate oil booms in low-tax Switzerland. Dateline Zug, Switzerland. The tiny towns and mountain vistas of Switzerland are an unlikely setting for an oil boom, yet a wave of energy companies has in the last few months announced plans to move to Switzerland, mainly for its appeal as a low-tax corporate domicile that looks relatively likely to stay out of reach of Barack Obama's tax-seeking administration. This is Dateline Reuters. Over the past 6 months, companies including offshore drilling contractors Noble Corporation and Transocean, energy-focused engineering group Foster Wheeler, and off-field services company Weatherfield International have all announced plans to shift domicile to Switzerland. As a matter of fact, 1,200 new companies have set up shop in Switzerland since the beginning of 2008. You're driving business out of America with these tax increases. It's not a zero-sum game that you think you can just tax people and expect or a corresponding increase in revenue into the treasury. What you're going to have is less money into the treasury because these companies are saying, I can't compete. We can't compete with this. So we have got to move overseas. The Transocean chief executive said, Switzerland has a stable and developed tax regime and a network of tax treaties with most countries where we operate. As a result, we will improve our ability to maintain a competitive worldwide effective corporate tax rate, i.e., we can't compete in America if our business is there, our main business. We cannot compete. So all you people that were whining about outsourcing and how awful it is, start whining about this. Start taking a look about this. Our tax structure in America is driving companies out of America. And how is that going to help us? On what possible level is driving companies away from here going to help us? It won't. The tax base will shrink. And you know what the solution is going to be? We need to raise more taxes. That's always the solution with liberals. This is a prime example of what happens when you raise taxes in order to pay for your fantasies of universal health care, of all these programs that you want to implement. This is what happens. This is the end result. Companies move away in mass. Companies get taxed in America basically half. When it comes up to Fed, state, local, city, county, you're basically paying half. If you're fortunate enough to make a profit, you're paying half to whatever government entity. In Switzerland, however, the corporate rate is 16%. 16% flat rate for corporations. How are we going to stay competitive if we continue down this path of taxing our businesses to death and taxing them to move? You know who made it in? Minnesota.
Yeah. Saw that.
Oh, wow. That's got a stick in the craw. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a great coach. Tubby Smith's a great coach. He is.
Yeah.
I was a Tubby guy when he was here. It was time for him to move on, but they're in Minnesota. Wow, man, some interesting matchups. Oklahoma State is in, by the way. Travis Ford, first year as the coach. This just provides fodder to people who are a little frustrated with the current direction of the University of Kentucky program.
Yeah.
Telling you.
Yeah.
You got Travis that coaches Oklahoma State in, a former guest here on Airing It Out. You got Western in. You got Moorhead in. Moorhead in there playing in this playing game. That's terrible. I hate that for them. I really do. There's no sarcasm attached there. And you've got, what was the other interesting one? Yeah, they're all interesting. I could sit here, and I'm going to be perusing that frequently over the next few days.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Last segment of the evening, which is always the world famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
This is the New Straits Time in India? Pakistan? I don't know. Somewhere over there. Did you see, by the way, that Russia's going to be parking long-range bombers in Venezuela and Cuba?
I did hear that.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I'm sure we'll... Peace through strength. Peace through strength. And we're not gonna see a whole lot of strength over the next 4 years. For 37-year-old Muhammad Noor and wife, 106-year-old Walk, every day is Valentine's Day. That's right. He's 37. She is 106. She's the world's oldest cougar.
Yeah, I guess.
Huh? Well, another way to look at it, or a saber tooth. You could look at it that way, too.
Yeah,
of course,
true.
At 106, I'm not in the teeth. So he's 36 and she's 106. Somebody's got a wee bit of a mommy complex. When Muhammad Noor Sheikh Musa and Walk Kundar tied the knot just over 3 years ago, nobody gave their marriage much of a chance to survive. You think? She was 103. He had just turned 34, and the bride was 103. Now, 3 years on, the couple, who reside in Kampung Tokbak, near here, which I have no idea where here is, have surprised many by staying happily married and proving that love will conquer all if given a chance. Noor said almost every family member, friend, and neighbor had once dismissed his decision to marry Walk as a desperate attempt for companionship. Quote, in the beginning, we were the talk of the town, if not the whole state and country. We ended up in the news a few times, but now most of the people I care about, especially my family and friends, have accepted Walk as my life partner. Most of our neighbors have also accepted that this marriage is for the long haul. Well, once again, you got to do the statistical models.
Yes.
And I'm going to say it's not for the long haul.
No.
106.
No.
Walk is. You know, the logical question when people get married after 3 years is, when can we expect the pitter-patter of little feet?
Yeah.
I don't think that question is going to be asked.
No.
Do you?
I don't think so.
So they live in this house that got burgled, is what they say, in December. They lost their beds and their TV set. But Walk was quick to add that the most important thing they have is each other. She claimed it was a good thing that they did not have their TV set, as it has given them more time to read the Quran together. You see, this is what happens. This is what happens when you can't take the bride's burqa off until wedding night. This is what happens. You just take the burqa off, and Walk is 106.
Yeah.
As for the secret to their blissful marriage, I'm a happily married guy, but you can always make a marriage better.
Right.
Walk said that, like any other, theirs also had some up and downs, but she added it was vital to remember not to go to bed angry with each other. Wow, that's just kind of advice that's worldwide.
Yeah.
When asked if he had to make sacrifices in order to be with Walk, I can come up with a few. Noor said it was no sacrifice at all and that he had never been happier. Both husband and wife also admitted they were not too familiar with Valentine's Day, but said if it meant a day for professing love for one another, then every day for the past 3 years has been Valentine's Day for them. You got to look on the bright side of this, though. It's a heartwarming story, isn't it?
It is.
You know.
Yeah. A little unusual, but very nice.
He probably doesn't have any mother-in-law issues.
True.
He probably doesn't have to. I don't have to. I don't have any issues because I love my mother-in-law. I do. Yeah. She's a great lady. And she's listening, so I want to make sure I add that. You know, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Dateline Albany, New York. New York, this is the new taxes now. New York Assemblyman wants to tax patrons of strip bars. You might call it a poll tax. The New York legislator who brought the nation its first law against driving while using a cell phone is proposing a $10 tax for patrons of strip bars. Blah, 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 blah. So, this is the guy that wants to tax using a cell phone while driving. And you think government doesn't just seep into every single pore of your body when they want to tell you how you can drive? How about this? Dateline, the Mail Online, which is in the UK. Old age begins, this is number 7. Old age begins at 27. Scientists reveal new research into aging.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
And I could go into it, but I don't have the time. But suffice it to say, you're getting ready to be old.
Yeah.
Because it begins at 27.
Wow.
After all.
Yeah. That must mean you're ancient. Sorry.
I won't even comment on that. I want to thank everybody for listening. It's, you know what? It's just like a stab to the heart. Is what it is. Knowing that you go through the next 3 weeks and the Cats are just not represented anywhere in there. But Ohio State is, West Virginia is, Western Kentucky is, Morehead State is. There's one other school that I just can't remember right now from Kentucky that's in the tournament. So enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. But I want to thank everybody for the calls received and for listening this evening. We truly appreciate it.
Tune in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m. for live shows on 105.7 WLGC and, of course, DrewSkaggs.com.